So what did you learn about sex when you're in school? Was it strange, sanitized, or did it answer all of your questions? And most importantly, did it prepare you for what you'd encounter in real life?
I believe teenagers shouldn't have sex because sex will ruin your life.
Sorry, is the boys' class being taught about pregnancy as well, or is it just us girls?
Quiet, Maeve.
After getting pregnant, I had no choice but to leave school.
There are always choices. Women do not have to have children.
Enough.
And we shouldn't be shamed for having sexual desires. You make sex sound terrifying, but it doesn't have to be. It can be fun and beautiful and teach you things about yourself and your body.
Okay. Out. Happy.
That's a snippet of the hit Netflix drama Sex Education, a rather raunchy series being hailed around the world for sharing more information and helpful sex education material that is often found in the classroom or at home, because parents are often reluctant to talk too. Deborah Dudek is an associate professor at Edith Cowan University who's been writing about this, and she's my guest. Welcome.
Hi.
So TV shows often get sex wrong too. So how do you think this series gets it right?
I love that clip that you played off the top with the discussion between Maeve and one of the external people brought in to provoke fear into the hearts and loins of young women and Maeve's response to that sex can be beautiful and can be fun and teach you things about yourself. And so I think that idea that young people can express their desires and can have sex that is fun and playful and isn't scary, and that sex education shouldn't be about abstinence and fear, those are the key messages I think the show gets right.
So how are the topics that are touched on in the show, the ones you've just talked about, addressed in standard sex education curriculums around the country?
I think it's varied. The research that we have undertaken, that's been undertaken on our larger project by one of our PhD students, Giselle Woodley, is just saying that there isn't a standard across Australia, and that some teachers feel comfortable and have a background in sexology, that know how to talk about these issues, and other schools teachers don't have the training or, don't feel comfortable talking about it. So there isn't actually a standard across the country that presents sex education in that formal setting in a concrete way or unified way.
Yeah, and you write that the series is racy but essential. So should it be used in schools?
I think you could take scenes like the one that you just played on the radio and have that as a starting point for a debate, a discussion, questions, and who's right, who's wrong, are both right and wrong. I think you could use excerpts from that TV show in a classroom for sure.
Obviously, the TV show Sex Education is a pretty raunchy series, perhaps not suitable for younger viewers, but is there a place for kind of raunchier television if it helps create a positive conversation?
I think
perhaps
so.
Perhaps if it's watched with parents too, although I think my kids would just cringe at the idea of watching it with me.
My parents, when they found out that I was writing on this TV show, my parents in their 70s started watching it. And they're like, whoa, it is pretty raunchy. Quite the opening scene, Deborah. And each season starting episode does, kind of just throw you into a very personal either sex scene or masturbation scene or several sex scenes if it's the first episode of season 3. And I think it is a way of saying, look, there's different ways that pleasure happens, and none of it's wrong if it's all consensual and safe. And so I think it could open conversations, and that there is a place for the representation of pleasure that isn't just I was thinking about other TV series that, you know, sort of just move away as soon as the kissing starts, or, you know, there's soft lighting or wafting curtains that stand in for the kind of messiness, awkwardness, fun of what sex can be.
Sex education also shouldn't be confined to the classroom. Parents have a big role to play. Do you remember having that chat with your own parents?
I remember my mother presenting my sister and I with menstruation pamphlets that I think the, you know, Tampon or Playtex, one of those companies in Canada, provided for. Here's what you can give to your children as a way of showing them the reproductive processes and what to expect when you have your period. And I do remember my father giving me a package of condoms and saying, use these. So I think, one of the things that we're doing in our larger project is looking into perceptions of harm, that adolescents' perceptions of harm of accessing online content, could be sexual content. And what we're finding in our conversations with, so it's parents and teens that we interview at the same time, but in different rooms, is that sometimes parents don't know how to have that conversation either. So it's both, parents might not know how to talk to their children, children might not know how to ask, there's embarrassment there. But if we can, I think, normalize conversations about sex, then maybe we're already halfway there.
So how can they start the conversation?
Do you have any questions? Have you started having any feelings? I'm not a sexologist, so I don't feel completely confident. My area of research is in analyzing texts for young people, whether it be film or TV or novels. So my starting point is always with culture, with art, with stories, as a way of both representing and influencing life. So I would probably always start with something like a story, whether it be a TV series or a film or a novel. But that's me, because that's my area of expertise and research.
Recently, you wrote about the misconception that pornography is only harmful to teenagers. Do you think people underestimate the impacts of pornography on adults?
Do they underestimate the effects of pornography on adults?
Our
research is looking into whether adolescents themselves perceive harm from accessing sexual content online, either intentionally or unintentionally. And we're still in the middle of our research. So if there are any parents and their teens in Perth are interested in participating, just jump on our website. And because there isn't a lot of, there isn't any solid research. There's a lot of solid research, but nothing that says this is the effect of pornography, because we don't know what type of pornography people are accessing. We don't know whether they come across it intentionally or unintentionally. We don't know whether or not, in the case of teens, if they are they say that they can differentiate between reality and fantasy, the fantasy of porn and the reality of having sex in real life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Deborah Dudek is an associate professor at Edith Cowan University. And I wonder, have you seen this show? I mean, it's one of those shows that everyone is talking about. I must admit, I haven't seen it yet. It's called Sex Education. I think my children are probably a bit young to be watching it with me.